is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. And we are here. Man, oh man, there's a lot of stories that came. And not a lot of positive stories, I don't feel like. I just don't feel like if you're going to talk about Wade Miley today, I just don't feel like if you're going to talk about Antonio Brown today.
Well, hold on. Can I at least start with one since it's going to be negative?
Yeah.
Aaron Coleman got cut.
Well, that's not a positive story. Or, well, maybe it's a positive for the city, but not for Aaron Colvin.
I'm doing a show for the city. I'm not doing the Aaron Colvin show. John and Lance here. Aaron Colvin show starting off 7 o'clock here on the dot. And our guy, Aaron Colvin, is gone. Cut. And this is a dark, sad day for Houston as Aaron Colvin, said no one ever. It's this. Hey, guys, Aaron Colvin show here. Great day for Houston. Bad day for our guy, Aaron Colvin.
Well,
is what the Aaron Colvin show likes.
Yeah, I kind of sucked again. And
here's what a Houston show likes.
No
more Aaron Colvin. I don't know if the next guy's going to be any good, I know it's not going to be Aaron Colvin.
It's not great for the city. I mean, he's against the salary cap, and he can't even, well, you activated him, which was the first problem, okay? He was active on Monday night.
Yeah.
That's a real problem. That is your analysis and the way that you went about, hey, who should we sign in free agency? Who's going to be somebody that can come in here and be a decent free agent? How about Aaron Colvin? That sounds like a good idea.
That was like going on 3 years ago. The fact that they kept him, he wasn't good in post. He wasn't good in the preseason.
It's a year in a game that he's been here, right? Or is it 2 years in a game? Yeah, it's a
this
year
is
in a
his
game.
Second year ago. Well, I guess
it's a year in a game.
I'm thinking he played in Jacksonville going on 3 years. So yeah,
it's 17 games into this thing. You decided he's just not good enough, and you gave him decent free agent money. This is a guy that was supposed to be your slot guy. Congratulations, well done Texans again with your evaluations. Like it's almost like he was a third rounder.
Second rounder like Lonnie Johnson.
Yeah, Brian Gain has to wear that one. We'll see what happens with Lonnie. It's still going to take some time. Aaron Colvin was a known. He wasn't fast enough. He wasn't good enough in terms of covering people. There was the fact that he could be cut after a first game means that he was on the verge of being cut, or they just didn't think they had the numbers. Look, they just don't have the numbers. This is why when some of you don't care about draft picks, I do, because they don't have anything in the secondary.
But what did
right
they?
Now.
What
they
did
got
he?
Nothing.
What did he do from last year when he wasn't even active?
Nothing.
To this year to play against the Saints on Monday Night Football. What did he do that you thought? Well, that he's going to be just fine.
A war of attrition. No, you just didn't have anybody else. That's all that is. He didn't do anything to win a spot.
So you're so bad in the secondary that your depth goes from Bradley Roby to J.J. to Aaron Colvin, who you have to cut.
Yeah, that's how bad you are. It's secondary. That's how not ready you are. I'm not going to call Xavier Crawford and Lonnie Johnson bad yet. That's not fair. They're just learning how to play NFL football. But you got Keon Crossan, who is known as a special teams guy, which he was... I assume he's got to be that guy now, unless they're going to play Xavier Crawford there. But you've got Jonathan Joseph, who's going to be done next year. But there's talk about Whitney Merciless getting extended. Nick Martin just got an extension yesterday. I mean, I can't do anything with that. I don't know what to do with that. You got to get better there. So you got to get better across the front. He is serviceable, and that's it. You gotta aspire for more than serviceable. And I know they love him because he's a hard worker and he's got all the football intangibles. But there's got to be better blocking up front. And extensions.
Well, after a six-sack game, of course you're going to extend one of your offensive linemen.
Can you explain the philosophy?
Excuse me.
Obviously, we need to get to that. But you mentioned Lonnie Johnson not being ready to play NFL football.
Yeah.
So the Brian Gain approach was to be cautious, maybe not draft guys who are ready to go, which is mind blowing when you need depth in this.
He just wants traits, height, weight.
Yeah. So you draft the guy in the second round who's not particularly ready to play in the NFL, which, right. Okay, fine. And Bill O'Brien's approach is like, we going for it right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So two different things.
So the two philosophies are banging into each other, which means you're giving up draft picks to go for right now, but then you draft the guys who aren't ready to play.
Yeah.
And you don't have draft picks next year.
Right.
To possibly help those guys.
Welcome to my concerns, Dell.
Huh.
Yeah, it's not good.
Huh.
It's not good. The roster, like, the voids in the roster are
major. Sounds like a bad plan.
You know who else isn't ready yet? Titus Howard.
Wait, so you think this sounds like the Texans are taking a poor approach?
You mean the team
without a general manager?
I feel like things are not moving in the correct direction.
The team without a general manager, you think that they're taking a poor approach to organization?
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right.
I don't know, but
it feels wrong. I want roll call. All the teams in all of professional sports without a general manager. Ready? I'm going to start. Texans. You guys go next.
Didn't the Red Sox, is Dombrowski, was he a general manager or president? So they have an interim. Bill O'Brien's the interim.
No, there's a consortium.
No,
there's
it's a consortium.
They're called the 12, Del.
So, yeah. The 12?
The 12.
The 12.
Is there really freaking 12 of them?
That's a vampire book.
No, it's the 12 is Del from Killing Eve.
I know there's also a vampire book that. But written by a guy who's a Rice professor, actually.
So you guys don't know this, but every reference now and during the breaks is Killing Eve by Lance, okay?
Oh, my God.
He's obsessed with Killing Eve. And you've always been obsessed with vampires. You read, like, Abraham Lincoln's Vampire?
I read it and watched the movie.
Wait, you watched the Abraham Lincoln Vampire movie?
It's not great, as you might imagine.
He loves vampires.
Okay. I don't like teenage girl type vampires, like the whole romance crap.
What was that one?
Twilight. I do like vampires.
You didn't like it enough? Did you read it?
No, I didn't read it.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
you have to admit it.
It's on FX. I watched it. Okay. I didn't go to the theater and watch it.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Hold on.
But Sarah Michelle Gellar? Yeah. I'm watching that.
Okay. What are you going to say, Del? Go.
What?
Well, you were about to say something about your vampires.
I'm saying I like vampires who kill people, not ones that make out with
Abraham Lincoln.
Okay, so did you ever see?
He killed vampires.
What was the one where Tom Cruise was the vampire? What was that movie called?
Interview with the Vampire.
Okay, Interview for.
That's a long time ago.
Who hasn't seen that movie? Listen to this. Remember the guy told you?
I haven't.
Why not?
Because I heard it was terrible, so I didn't see it.
It was.
It's not great.
It's super boring.
So I don't. If I hear,
but I was
terrible,
a kid when it came out. I didn't know that.
Listen to this. The guy yesterday who I told you about who told me. Kerr, when this guy could up a soup sandwich, Pete Parmalee, the guy who taught me how to handicap, he told me, I remember being on the phone with him one time, said, what are you doing tonight? He goes, my old lady has me going. This guy was highly intelligent, but he's from Chalmette. So you know anything about that. Yeah, he's like, that's East Bank or West Bank, one of them. And he said, oh, man, my old lady's got us going to the movies to see this. He goes, no, we went to see the movies. My old lady had me go there. It was just terrible. I said, what was it? He said, something about a conversation with a vampire. I said, that's what the movie is? Yeah, conversation with a vampire. He's called Willie Rope. It was like high comedy, but I went and saw it too. Yeah. It was dreadful.
No.
What a slow.
What was
it? It reminded me of Lord of the Rings, The Last Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. You better watch yourself.
I was like, oh, God, this is terrible. So does Antonio Brown,
The kids are on their way to school.
Oh, yeah, we can't tell.
Not sure.
We can't do Antonio Brown stories until 8:30 now.
So who's having a worse week right now? Antonio Brown or Wade Miley?
Wade Miley.
I don't know.
Or Aaron Colvin.
Antonio Brown just signed for $9 million.
No, maybe.
Maybe.
Getting accused of rape, I think.
Wait a minute. He lost 30. So now it's down to, it's actually 10. He gets the one guaranteed for playing, and he gets $9 million.
Nine with a chance at 50.
A chance at six more. Yeah, but it's 10 at least. So he lost 30. Now it's down to 10 guaranteed, possibly 15. Now it's down to maybe none because the Patriots might go conduct detrimental. We can't have
it. Why would they do that, John?
Well, because now rape is in the picture.
Yes.
So that's, for those of you that haven't heard, Antonio Brown accused of rape.
Accused of three different instances by the same woman. He's like, she's trying to
is probably the worst of them. The other one is, poor grammar's also been accused.
There's a conviction there on his emails.
I think we have enough evidence.
The evidence is in. maybe everyone shouldn't go play college football, and we should have an XFL where you come right out of high school.
I want to know something. That Central Michigan,
dude,
you're on the clock now. How in the world Antonio Brown got through?
Yikes, that's hard.
Any years of school.
But yeah, his emails that came out to her, they were unfortunate. Some of the things he said there. It's gonna be.
This will be interesting. This will be interesting to see. I don't think he lasts. If you want to know the truth, I think Bill Belichick is probably going to go, nah, we can't do this. Antonio, we wanted to have you on the team, but we just can't have you on it anymore. We just can't do this. I honestly think, why would you add this headache to this now?
Well, I know. They've had murderers. They've had a serial killer there before.
Yes, but not in the middle of it. Well, no. Whoa. They didn't know he was a murderer at the time he was playing.
Didn't they?
Let me tell you, I take that back. It wasn't public.
No, they didn't know he's a murderer. Let me tell you what they did know. They did know about Aaron's college background. And his college background, he had some... There's a reason he went where he went.
No, no, no. And they knew Aaron. They knew Randy Moss's background, and they knew Corey Dillon's background. Yeah, but that's fine. But he wasn't in the middle of a rape accusation.
It's going to be interesting to see.
Or a murder accusation. Mm-hmm. Those happened after, or they cut him, said, well, you can't play here anymore because you got a murder accusation.
The Patriots are going to wait it out for a while. There's no question. They're going to wait. They wouldn't have taken the initial chance they did. Mm. They're going to wait it out because there is no... They still don't have. There's no. What's the problem with them waiting?
Yeah, but here's the deal. How does Antonio Brown go to work today? And the media crush of media.
Well, that's
how.
But this is different. You just don't show up because you just say your helmet or your feet got hurt, and you just don't show up. That's why he didn't open.
Well, no, he's got to show up. But listen, that's
just the feet. Just say I went back in the cryo and my feet are bad again, so I don't come in. And if you do that, Bill Belichick will cut you.
Yeah,
like Bill Belichick won't mess around with that. But there's no risk for Bill Belichick. They're going to sit and
wait it
out.
Except the millions. Other than that, I don't know. No, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see whether or not. Well, the league now. There's the league that he's going to be suspended. I mean, this is honestly the Patriots taking a chance. I get it, but
I didn't get it.
It's even Antonio Brown. He's not worth it, and that dude is really, really, really good.
He wasn't worth it at any point. He's going to continue to not be worth it. If not now, things in his
past. His talent is worth, you know. At least the Patriots said it. His talent is worth a chance.
Then the Patriots will wait this out. That's what I'm telling you. And they can go get their money retroactively.
Well, they're going to probably hope that the league acts and says, okay, until we figure this out, Antonio, you can't go to the facility.
And let's put a freeze on your money.
That's it. All right. And listen, you don't need to freeze. You don't need all kinds of money to get a new grill.
No, you really don't. Texas Star Grill Shop. Now, let me say this, though. Texas Star Grill Shop is the home of high-end quality grills. But Texas Star Grill Shop is also the spot where they give you free assembly, free delivery. They'll even cook for you on Saturdays so that you can see what the food tastes like at one of their stores. They're 2045 Southwest Freeway, and they're also at off of 8095 Luetta in Spring. But at Texas Star Grill Shop, you have big sales going on right now through September on Maverick 1250s, which is the brand new Pits and Spits model. You've got a great deal going on the Traeger. They call it the next-gen D2 Traeger grill. You can upgrade your summer with the brand-new Traeger. There is a brand-new Green Mountain grill. This is the amazing thing about the wood pellet grills is everyone keeps trying to go above and beyond. And now it's basically foolproof. You can get the temperature exactly where it's supposed to be. It stays there, and your meat is cooked like a convection oven, only with smoke and real fire from a real grill or from real wood. But it's you can do like with Memphis, you've got a grate for direct flame, you got a grate for indirect flame. You got to go see these for yourself. Go to one of the two locations and find out for yourself and take advantage of this great sale at TexasStarGrillShop.com.
All right, 716 ESPN 97.5, 737-803-776, 737-803-776. So honestly, what do you do now with Wade Miley? How many more times can you? In his last two starts, he's gone one third of an inning and given up 12 runs. He actually recorded an out last night, but not before he gave up five earned runs, zero outs, his previous outing. What the hell happened to the guy that was fourth in the league in ERA? Now, we knew that Wade Miley probably wasn't that guy, right? We knew Wade Miley was coming. Man, has this been unbelievable how great he's been? But, you know, I mean, whoa, is he the third starter? Is Greinke the third starter? I don't know. It's going to be awfully difficult. Is Wade Miley even going to make it through the end of the season on the roster now?
So here's a question for you. How many times do you think this isn't even a question. I'll just say it. This is now the third time in six games that Wade Miley has given up at least five runs in an appearance. He had seven runs in a third, five runs in zero innings, and then dating back to August 14th, he gave up seven runs and three and a third. It's like you've been now. Is he tipping pitches? Is there something physically going on where he's lost? I didn't see it. I mean, he's never been a big velocity guy. Something is majorly wrong. You don't go from that ERA to what's happened now. That's just not. He was John, on August 9th, he had a 2.99 ERA.
That's I know. Yeah. The last, we did this the last out, his last outing.
Yeah.
We did this he was sub 3 a month ago. So this is more, he's got a 3.74 now. Honestly, Wade Miley is probably, there was a time when we were thinking, Wade Miley has turned into Charlie Morton. You pick up a guy that nobody really thinks, you know what, that's your fourth, that's your fifth starter, that's fine. And he comes in and he's unbelievable. And you say, what a great pickup. How unbelievable that Jeff Luneau can actually go and find his numbers, his spin rate, all of that stuff. It's unbelievable how if he signs a guy or if he makes a trade for a guy, boy, he knew something you didn't know. This is now 12 runs in two outings and one out is really, really, really not. That's not Wade Miley.
That's the worst I've ever seen for one pitcher to put together back-to-backs that he can't get a second out.
Is Wade Miley. Wade Miley is probably a 4-5 ERA guy. So he is trending more right now. But his last two outings are so unbelievably, they're historically bad.
Why do you think he's a 4-5 guy? I think he was better than that last year, too.
Well, he's, okay, let's look. I don't even know what his.
Last year he was like 2.57.
I can't tell you what his career ERA.
Last year he was a
2.57. His career ERA is 4.2.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's about what he is. He's a 4.2 guy.
Maybe.
Brett Strom had him as the fourth best ERA in the league, but something I think with the Peter principle comes into play here. You're going to get back not what he's doing now, though. Holy crap. I mean, this is he's trying to get back to his Peter principle in like three outings. He's trying to get back to 4-2 in three outings. He's going from 2.99 to 4-2 in six or seven outings, and that's unbelievable. This will be interesting. Do you send him back out for his next start now, or do you have to see whether or not he can? Why would you put him on the mound again in 5 days?
You know, historically, his hits are higher than his innings pitched, dating back to where it was basically even in 2013 and 2012. Last year with the Brewers was his best year, but shortened year. And this year was, I think, his most complete year, obviously. He had a chance to reach, and it looked like he was going to reach his career high of 16 wins, but I don't see that happening right now. Not at this pace. Not
so
the way
what
been going.
Do you do?
I think you have to.
If you're
skip,
AJ,
I think you have to skip him. I think you have to skip him, and you have to determine if there's something physically wrong, if it's in his head. I mean, there's something wrong. So is it physical? Is it pitch tipping? Is it mental? Go diagnose it. Get the Stromer on there. Get Dr. Strom, and if you need to just give him that rest, maybe his arm's tired. You know, he only had 16 games last year.
Yeah.
He was coming off an injury, so. Maybe
what's his velocity? What's the spin rate right now?
Yeah, you have to check all that stuff. You have to check. It's just like a car. You gotta lift the hood up and find out what's going on here because maybe fatigue is setting in for him after last year. Who knows? I mean, you wouldn't think so.
Well, he's had 32, 30, 32, 33. Of course, he had a 4.34. He had a 4.46. He had a 5.37.
He went right up there around a 200 inning mark.
Well, when he pitches third, when he has, yeah, he's got, he had a 5-2. The last time.
I'm going to go see his splits.
The last time he pitched, listen, the last time he had 30 starts, he had a 5-6-1.
What year was that?
2 years ago. And last year, he only had 11 starts. He had a 2.57. The year before, he had 30 starts, 5.37.
Okay, how about
this? This is trending more towards what Wade Miley is.
In 2015, Wade Miley was a 3.49 in May, a 3.30 in June, a 5.30 in July, and a 4.31 in August. In 2014, and this is when he was, you know, he was going 200 innings. It was in August, it was a 5.04. And in September is a 4.62 in 2014. In July is a 2.45.
We'll go to 2017.
Okay, that was Milwaukee, right? Yeah. No.
That was Baltimore.
Yeah, it was Baltimore. In 2017, well, that's just not great.
Yeah.
His June was 7.48. His July was 8.68. His August was 2.60. And then his September was 9.74.
See, this is maybe he tires. Maybe he's Will Harris. He's Will Miley. He's Chris. He's Wade Davinsky.
It's possible.
Maybe
in September last year he was 3.52, which was his worst of all his ERAs.
In September last year, though, he had only pitched. That was only his 11th start.
And yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I mean, he's wearing out.
He does have a history. It looks like of wearing down a little bit. I'll check 16 too, but it does look like he has a little history of. Of wearing down late. Yeah, 5.21 in September in 2015. This guy just doesn't get it done in September. And frankly, August was 7.14 that year. August, September is just not good for him historically from a career standpoint. So, yeah, that's a real – I mean, this is a real problem. Over the last 3 years, in September he's a 6.06. In August he's a 4.24. But, you know, his splits are bad over the last 3 years in general. But it shouldn't be last year and this year.
Last year's only 11 starts. That's why. I mean, he wears down. Maybe we need to get him to some testosterone. Maybe. Just maybe. No.
No, we don't have a men's tee right now.
I know, but we can give him a little added value.
No, because now it's one thing if you're segueing into a commercial. It's another if you're trying to get a ped charge on him and he's out of baseball.
I'm not trying to get. How about some testosterone? Maybe he's wearing down. Okay. Why? Just because if you get testosterone shot, you're going to get a ped? No. You need to.
Excuse me, Dell.
Pitchers need testosterone too.
If you get a ped shot, I mean, if you get a testosterone shot, doesn't that exactly mean you'll get pop for peds?
Yeah, I believe the exact reason you get suspended is if you are adding extra testosterone, you will get popped with the suspension. So yes, John, to answer your question,
what if his testosterone's low?
Well, you'd have to measure
that. Because it feels like to me, Wade Miley has some low testosterone.
How about we just
get it to the correct levels?
How about maybe he's mouthing like he can't see so good? He's going curveball, and so the hitter's like, "Oh my god, he's talking to the catcher." Said, I can see what he's saying.
You think so people who read and they actually speak while they're
he's just like this. Yeah, same thing.
Fastball. Okay. No, I'm hoping that's not the case that he says fastball. No, he might be tipping his.
Why are you making Alex wait when he wants to talk about your guy Wade Miley?
And then you got Larry Zerline coming up, too.
Ooh, well, we got to catch Larry Zerline. We're going to catch Larry Zerline right now. So, Alex, sorry. Call back after Larry Zerline. He's going to join us on the other side. Dana Holgerson's joining us at 8:30 today because they got their big game on Friday. So he moves up a day. Next week it'll be Tuesday because they move up two. It's just they don't have a regular week at the University of Houston.
I've never seen anything like that for one
time. I know. 6 days for his first That's four ridiculous. Games to get ready.
I've never seen anything like Gritty either. Gritty is wholesale energy. Here's what it means. You pay the wholesale energy prices. If it's extremely low, which it usually is, you pay it. If it spikes, you pay it. Only you can control what you're paying during spikes by just altering your electricity. Did you know that Nest, I'm switching over to Nest. Nest, there's actually something where Nest can hook up to the Gritty app, and when the Gritty app tells Nest, and you set it up this way, hey, once my electricity gets over, you know, 6.5 kilowatt cents per hour, I want you to turn my AC up to 78 degrees or 80 degrees or whatever the case may be. And that's one of the great ways that you can game the system. But really, Gritty is gaming the system. It's a $10 monthly membership fee for unlimited access to wholesale electricity. And there's no contract. When you're not completely satisfied or if you're not completely satisfied, switch at any time. But there's no hidden fees. There's no markups. There's big savings. And Gritty members have saved millions. And you can, too, by texting Lance to 797979. Gritty's going to give you your first month's membership absolutely free. All you have to do is text Lance to 797979 and start saving. That's Lance to 797979. Hey, I had a bigger bill than expected in August because of five historic price spikes. I'm still up $200 for the entire year, and I've only been with them for 6 months. Message and data rates may apply. Text Lance to 797979.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, Dell, and we're going to be joined in just a second by Larry Zierlein. This is always a great segment. I think maybe because he, I think Coach had a hard time hearing us because we were on location last time, remember? And there was some background noise and everything else.
Yeah,
so maybe it'll be better for Coach this time.
Yeah.
But we want Coach to hear us because we got a lot of questions from him about this offensive line, and Coach Larry Zierlein is joining us here once again on ESPN 97.5. He's our O-line expert because, well, he's got a ring, okay? I don't know how many of you out there have a ring, but Coach Zierlein has a ring.
Well, if you're an Astros fan, you have probably.
Well, yeah, you have a ring because you went to a game and they gave you one. Coach Zierlein, how you doing?
I have a ring in my nose. I'm led around.
Whoa.
You don't have a ring in your
since
nose.
I've retired.
Marsha lead you around like that?
That's right.
All right, Coach. Overall, I mean, it looks bad with six sacks. Let's talk about what this Texans offensive line did on Monday night.
Well, first of all, it is not as bad as it looks. Or the statistics would tell you. Six sacks is not good, but all of them can be fixed. I will say this. I thought their run blocking was very good, and I thought their pass protection against four-man rushes was good. Here's what you've got in today's football. You've got blitzes coming at you from every direction, and they will disguise it from one way, bring it from another way. It's hard enough to block a guy when you know exactly where he is and where you can get in front of him and block him. That's tough enough. What is really hard is when you think you're blocking one guy, then a linebacker or some other defender, maybe on a twist, gets on your edge. And it's really hard if you don't have great edge strength to block a guy who is on your edge. And the Saints were doing a great job of bringing some pretty exotic pressures, especially out of the three-man line. And that's what happened a little bit as some of them got on the edge and just kind of, powered their way through. One thing the Saints or the Texans do need to improve on is blocking the twist. And I thought that was especially true on the left side. Tunsil, and let me tell you, Tunsil is a good player, and he's gonna help him a lot. But still, he's just a part of the unit. And the twist, what we call the TE, where the defensive tackle comes in the gap between the guard and the tackle, and then the defensive end loops around. They were having some problems with that. Laramie was setting out too far. I love his sets. He takes great sets, but when you're going to get a twist, you've got to change your set a little bit. And he didn't do it, so he was getting picked, and that was freeing up one of the two rushers. And so they were sacked there. The right tackle has got to be more aware of the linebackers. On a couple of occasions, the linebacker that the center, guard, and right tackle were working to, he on the snap came outside the defensive end, and the right tackle didn't see it. So those are all the things that will come along as they practice. This training camp and exhibition season is not what it used to be. You're not coming into the season nearly as slick as they used to. But let me just say this. Deshaun Watson, to me, is an outstanding quarterback. I mean, some of the things he does are just amazing. But he can really help himself on these hits and sacks. For instance, if you look at the sack that Tunsil gave up, the quarterback, Watson, was 10 yards deep when he got hit. Now, if you watch Breeze, he is always at 8. Peyton Manning used to be always at the exact same depth. If you're an offensive lineman, if you're a tackle in particular, And if you know where that quarterback is going to be sitting at all times on dropbacks, not play actions, but on dropbacks, if you know where he's going to be, then you can take your pass set accordingly. And you can set to where you can be slightly inside out and just run him around. Just run him around the back of the quarterback. But when the quarterback is 10 yards deep, you think you're running him around, and you're running him right into the quarterback. And, of course, who looks bad here? It's the offensive tackle. And that's what happened on his tackle or on his sack. That's what happened on another instance where from the right side where he was almost 11 yards deep. And so Deshaun scrambles up into the pocket and runs into a sack. So he can help himself a little bit. I don't know what he's being told as far as the depth, but if he's more consistent with his depth, the tackles know better how to set, and that's going to help a whole lot. But overall, I really think it's encouraging. They went into New Orleans, a Super Bowl contender, and had a great chance to win the game. This quarterback is always going to give him a chance, but he's got to protect himself a little bit better. And of course, the line will improve as the season progresses.
Mm-hmm. Larry Zerline with us here on ESPN 97.5. Now, you're a line coach. I'm not, and yet I know that on these twists, if the defensive end is busting down, that there's a real possibility that there's a twist coming from a linebacker or the tackle, that
something's
they're doing
up.
Some kind of stunt.
Something's up.
There's a stunt going on here, Coach. How does Chantrell Henderson not know this? This is kind of basic, isn't it?
Okay, are you talking about the one where the defensive end came back underneath and made the play?
No, when the linebacker came outside and Chantrell missed him.
This is just what I said.
Yeah, right, but how do you not know this if you're Chantrell Henderson?
Well, believe me, over 45 years, I saw it happen a lot. You work on it, you talk about it, but they get locked into that defensive end. The defensive end comes inside, and for whatever reason, they don't come off on him. Now, I'll bet you the next week he does. Mike Devlin is going to pound him on this thing, and I'll bet you he did it twice. The kid did it twice, and for a professional player, there's no excuse for it, but it happens. And, there was another instance where the defensive end came underneath, and I can't remember if he sacked Deshaun or just made a pressure. But it looked like a twist. It actually was never a twist. The running back came out and chipped the defensive end. Well, when the defensive end feels like he's being chipped, he does three things. He either bull rushes, he spins, or he will just jump inside quick. And that's what this guy did. And that wasn't really Henderson's fault, but you're right. He has to see the linebacker who is assigned to their unit. That the defensive end is not his man. If a linebacker who is in his unit, the center, the guard, and the tackle's unit, if that linebacker comes outside, he has to come off of him. And unfortunately, it's not as easy as it sounds, but he immediately should think, if my guy goes inside, somebody's coming outside, and he should have seen that.
Hey, Dad, let me ask you something about the run game. What did you see from the run game in terms of they're not a heavy outside zone team like they were. They'll run some of it, but not like they were with Gary Kubiak. And yet, they've had some success running a football with Bill O'Brien, but this felt like the first time they had a back that they really like his style. Carlos Hyde's compliments kind of a power running game, which is what Bill O'Brien favors. Can you talk about the run game in that regard?
Oh, yeah. I thought they looked good in the running game. I thought Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde both did good. And they are running some outside zone, but it's from the gun. And I don't know if they call it inside zone or outside zone, because the old traditional Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak outside zone was always run from the quarterback under. So your landmarks for your running back were different. Now when you offset the back, then if he does try to run all the way to the outside line mark like they used to do on the outside zone when the back when the quarterback was under. You know, if you try to go to that landmark now from an offset back, you're running sideways forever. So I don't know exactly what their landmark is, but I still think, based on what I saw, the tracks of the offensive line, I think they would probably still consider it as an outside zone. But I think that their running game really looks good. You know, they were good on the outside zone last year. They block it well. They had some problems. The right guard, I can't think of his name, but he had some problems a couple, two or three times on the backside, which on the outside zone or any zone play, your major problems come on the backside, not the front side.
Hey,
but I think their running game looks good.
Hey, I want to ask you about the two guards. So you have Titus Howard. I want to specifically ask you about rookies. Max Sharping, who you worked with Max for 3 days, although on limited basis because he had a little hamstring injury. But you know Max Sharping a little bit. And then Titus Howard, you wouldn't know yet, from Alabama State. But talk about rookies, fitting rookies. So neither guy played. Sharping was he's just a backup right now. How difficult – I thought he had a great preseason. How difficult is it for rookies to go from preseason into the fire in New Orleans? I mean, when can we expect maybe a rookie to be mentally ready for the NFL?
Oh, brother, that's just from the 3 days that I was with Max, I had a feeling that he was pretty sharp. So it's the mental part more than the physical part, because when they start bringing those blitzes and the linebacker dogs and those kind of things, and it's one thing to be able to talk about it in the meeting room, and it's one thing to be able to pick it up on a walkthrough, but it's another thing to pick it up when it's loud. And when the speed is faster than anything you've ever seen in your life since you've been playing, it takes a little while, but sometimes you just got to throw them in the fire, and that's the end of the story. You know, I love Senio Kilimenti. He was out in Arizona for a while when I was there, but Deshaun got sacked on a linebacker blitz. It was a 5-man protection. The back was in the backfield. He free released. The defensive end dropped with him, and the linebacker came in the A-gap. And when that happens, the left tackle and the left guard have to squeeze it down to that back. It's not easy. It's hard. But Senio didn't see that at all. And so that's the kind of thing that Sharping, who had really never played inside, I think he's been an outside guy, everything speeds up on the inside. It's a faster game on the inside. Things happen quicker. And so it could take him a while, but there may come a point in time where they just throw him in.
Just got to do it. All right, before you go, the center, Nick Martin, got extended yesterday. 3-year deal that he's extended. What you've seen so far of Nick Martin, do you feel like he should be one of the highest paid players on this team?
Oh, golly, that's hard for me to answer, John. I mean, I don't have any idea. I do know this, that if you trust your center, those guys are a guy that can direct the protections, do all those kind of things. If he can do that well, set the defenses, and he is worth whatever they're going to give him. I don't know, how he compares to other centers in the league, but I do know this. When you get a center that you feel confident that he's going to direct the other five to who the Mike linebacker is, to where safeties are rotating, et cetera. If you find a guy that can do those kind of things, you better pay him. And whether he's worth it, who knows? But obviously, they feel like he gives them a lot of quality there.
All right, that's an honest answer. A lot of people are ripping the contract today. I don't know, about how all of those things. Absolutely, the coaching staff knows a lot better. It's that whole blocking thing. I don't think that has been.
Yeah, the mental part of being a center, though. I mean, it takes an intelligent guy, and that's something that does factor in on the football side.
Absolutely,
it does. And let me just tell you, sometimes with a center, that factors in more than the block. And with those of us on the outside, look at things differently than people on the inside. If you're sitting in that room and you're confident in him, and you know that he's going to see things, he's going to make the right calls, that's what you as a coach sometimes see more so than you see any blocking deficiencies, whereas we on the outside are watching the game, see the blocking deficiencies before we see the smartness.
Mm-hmm.
So You know, we all look at it from a different perspective, but it is good to get a center who can, you know, who can direct things, and that's really important.
Coach Zuerlein, as always, man, great talking to you. We really appreciate your insight.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
There's Larry Zuerlein right here on ESPN 97.5. We got Ram.
No, you can't even do it.
No, we're not using it as a verb, Dell. Okay, no. Dell wants me to use it as a verb today.
No, you're not. But I can tell you that you're going to use them. You're going to use Ramjack whenever you have foundation issues, and if you don't, that's fine. I mean, it's fine until you do call them, because maybe the first company didn't do it right, and that actually happens more than you might think. I know there's a belief that, well, foundation repair places are all the same, and not exactly. Did you know that Ramjack's been doing this for over 40 years here in the Houston area with patented technology, 100% American-made steel with the deep-driven pilings that get your home back on track? And if you're not sure whether or not you have foundation issues, an on-site inspector can come out and take a look and tell you exactly what's going on. But the shifting soils can cause cracks in the walls, bricks, sloping floors, gaps around the windows and doors, around the garages. I mean, these are telltale signs, and chances are, if you think you've got it, you've got it. But you need to have the experts come out and take a look. Ramjack does it right the first time. Don't do it twice. Do it right. Call the experts. Call Ramjack Foundation Repairs. Residential and commercial services are available. So call today at 713-599-0102. That's 713-599-0102. Or visit the website at ramjack.com.
Oh, my God. U.S. is down 6 to France, and who was it, Kemba?
Kemba had
Kemba's at the line.
Three free throws.
Three free throws,
he
makes one.
He missed the first, and he made the second, missed the third.
That is, with 42 seconds left.
He made one of three?
One of three.
That's pretty good.
So now they're down 5. They just...
In baseball, that's great.
By the way, this is to France.
I asked you this, guys, in the break. If you combine both rosters... Who would you take first? Would you take Rudy Gobert first?
Obviously. This is just...
I don't know why y'all keep acting this is... I'm being very serious here. You, Raheel, Dell, all of y'all are freaking about, like...
We're not freaking. It's just an interesting... If they win, it's not interesting. If they lose, it's interesting.
Gobert just blocked the shot
but
inside.
These aren't even great. Like, these are just...
We understand.
They've lost so many players to this team.
Well, yeah.
Do they even care?
But wait a minute. This isn't like college kids. These are not, they're not the elite NBA
players.
There's
NBA
a
teams.
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, but they don't care.
A Kemba Walker.
But they don't really care.
Then why
do
they play?
Yes, are you kidding? They care? They want to win?
I don't feel like anybody in the NBA cares.
Well, the guys who don't care aren't playing. The guys who care are playing.
This is just
and they're
trip.
Getting beat.
This is
the
trip.
Oh, my God.
Them.
This dude smokes like 4 packs a day from France.
Hey, they've been sending some decent, Tony Parker, Boris Diaw,
Nicholas Batum.
Batum, who was the other super athletic one that played for? He came out the same time as Boris Diaw.
No one knows that.
Yeah. Played, I think, at G State for a little bit.
The only Frenchie we know is Tony Parker.
Rudy Gobert. Evan Fournier is on the team.
Evan
Fournier is a good player. They actually have good players.
France has cranked out
some
pretty
good players.
They
can't go inside on Gobert. Listen, they cannot go inside.
And the other guy you're talking about is Nicholas Batum.
Yeah,
right?
I said that.
No. I'm thinking of somebody else who came out the same time as Boris
Chris
Diaw.
Middleton shooting a three was on the out-of-bounds line, so they're going down.
Yeah,
asked you if you were going to put a team together.
Yeah,
Gobert's
the best player on the floor.
Gobert's the best player. Evan Fournier is a good player.
Turioff was also French.
And Kemba Walker would be your next pick, no?
Probably. But.
Well, and that's not. Jason Tatum's down.
Yeah, he's not playing.
Right. But he was on the team. He got hurt.
But I take Gobert over all of them. He go first overall in the France U.S.
draft. 85-79 with 6.7 left.
Michael Pietras was the other one.
Michael Pietras. Oh, he's lightning fast.
Golden State Warriors. No, not the guy with the things. Not the shoot 'em up bathroom. No, not Oscar Pistorius.
No. I said lightning fast.
Who are you talking about?
Pietras is fast.
Who, the guard?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was fast. He could really jump. You think about Michael Dickerson?
Michael Dickerson was the lightning.
Yeah.
Barbosa. Yeah, Barbosa passed too. Hey, they lost to France.
They
had it's
plenty
over.
Of players.
It's over. They lost to France. But you know what? What do we look at this and go?
That's what I'm saying. That's my point.
I'm not freaking out. I just say it's just interesting that they're going to lose. Yeah. And then we're going to have this whole referendum, or we're just going to say, none of our best players are playing. Get over it.
Well, by the way, this was what? This is the World Cup.
It's the World Basketball, whatever. But they had won 58 straight international games, and that's not that anymore. Streak's about to end.
Not anymore. How are you going to beat a France?
Well,
okay.
You don't.
How are they going to celebrate? Player. They're going to celebrate with a bunch of cigarettes. Everybody's going to light
you
up.
You think the French? You know the
outdated.
Stop it.
No,
with
it's
that.
Not. No,
that's
it's not.
An outdated
Go to
thing.
France and see
not
all those
basketball
people,
players.
Stinky people with their smelly
basketball
cigarettes.
Players. What are they saying about us? Watch this fat man lay down and have Big Macs thrown into his face.
Okay. Well, we all have
Coors Light funneled into their mouths.
You say all France, that like it's a bad thing.
You don't think France people? People in France are pointing to Walmarts and going,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, go ahead. Spend more on your stupid French
bread.
Watch
these Americans fist fight over. They will fist fight over a television in November. It is fantastic. There is giant riots in Walmarts in late November. You've got to see this television.
Oh, yeah. And we will sit around and we will complain about everything.
It is great.
And we will eat pomfrets. Oh, great. And smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, and then they beat you.
Horrible.
Your squad, John.
And then
they
beat
your
squad.
Oh, really? Let's bring LeBron. Let's bring some really good.
We don't care. We did try
James
to bring
Harden.
Him. Okay, let's. Really? You going to get James out to play? No. Quit saying we're not letting James play.
We didn't let him play.
James could have played. He didn't want to play. LeBron didn't want to play.
And I'm glad he didn't want to play.
None of them want to play in this.
Yeah. Well, it's the World Cup. No one cares.
Yeah. No one cares about that stuff.
That's just because it's an international competition. It's the World Cup. No one cares.
We've wasted the whole segment on this dumbass game.
Right,
only because they're losing.
Chris wants to talk about the offensive line. Let's get him in here. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good
Chris.
That segment really tired me out. It's like listening to John talk about golf, but no, I mean, all four listeners that were interested in that have officially changed the channel and listened to Sunday 99.1. Hey, so I was calling about offensive line. Lance, I struggled with this with the UT game because I felt like it happened a lot with UT too, but then the Texans, and I'm asking out of ignorance, how does a guard, I was hoping to catch your dad, how does a guard, when the defensive tackle gets into his body and then decides to stunt, I feel like our guards a lot of time get washed down with the center. Mm-hmm. And their heads turned, they're not even really paying attention. And then, like, you know, you have a linebacker coming or maybe the defensive end, they kind of stunt around. I don't feel like our guards are really paying attention in both games. That's, I guess, question A, how do they pay attention? And the second question is, in the film room, like your dad was saying, like Larry was talking about, where if the quarterback's supposed to be 8 yards deep and they get sacked at 11 yards deep, in the film room, does the offensive line coach, although the head coach is pissed off, is the offensive line coach kind of tell him, looking over to the
That's quarterback coach.
How does that work?
Yeah, quarterback coach will say it. I mean, there's set depths to every. So you have a set depth. But quarterbacks, usually you want to be at 7.5 to 8, as he mentioned. I want to speak specifically for once. Thanks for the call, Chris. Specifically to one thing, Trey Hendrickson beat Tunsil around the edge.
He did.
Tunsil was trying to. He was trying to survive and recover just to get, you know, if Deshaun
would have
stepped.
It didn't look like he was riding him around Deshaun, now, one thing, though, if Deshaun isn't disciplined in his drop back, that is a real problem.
Yeah.
And that's something that we don't know. Maybe Bill O'Brien can
tell.
Tell you this. Listening and reading Bill O'Brien's press conference yesterday, it doesn't matter what you ask him, he doesn't answer a thing.
No, he didn't. That's the first time I've seen where he really didn't give
an
answer.
He did not answer a thing.
If you listen, he said they had to coach it better. He did. I think Shontrell Henderson could be in some trouble by reading. Here's the thing. How do you get guards to recognize it better? They have to be instinctive. It's instinctive where you recognize something's not right, or I've seen this before. And so on twists, where basically you're going to pick Tunsil on a TE, you're supposed to punch and then snap them to the next guy. And you have to have verbal conversation going on. Eric Winston and I talked about this. You punch and you say, come in, and Tunsil may or may not say the guy's looping, but you got to punch, snap, and look to catch the next guy.
But Shontrell, what I said to Larry, I know this. Because if my guy is busting his ass down to the guard, I know somebody's probably coming at me.
If he keeps making mental busts, we got to break it. If he keeps making mental busts, Titus Howard is going to be out there at right tackle sooner rather than later. And I'm telling you, he has asked a question about Titus Howard, and he made a comment about, you know, he was kind of wishy-washy. I think Titus Howard could end up at right tackle, which I think ultimately is his landing spot now. With Tunsil in. I think that's ultimately his landing spot. Texas Custom Patios is your ultimate landing spot. The place to go to get an outdoor living space that turns your house into a home. And what an amazing... I spent some time out on my last night. The weather, I don't know if you guys noticed, but actually the weather cooled a little bit after some of the storms. And it was actually very nice out there. And if you are looking to have your patio done by spring... Let me just tell you this. You've got to call by no later than October to have it done and ready for spring. There's a process that takes place. Now, right now, you could call and get this started, and you might be able to get it ready by, I don't know, February. And in February, we have some days that are really, I think it's great sitting out on a patio at 50 degrees, to be honest with you. I think it's fantastic, especially when you have an outdoor kitchen available to you as well. So make sure that you call the professionals at TexasCustomPatios.com. They use the very best materials, the best craftsmanship, but you also get a process where they tell you how long it's going to take, they tell you how much it's going to cost, they stick to it, and what they deliver is maybe in most cases going to be even better than you expected. If you want an example, go see my before and after at tcplance.com. That's tcplance.com. Call today or email today if you want that ready by spring, your patio from Texas Custom Patios.